Right now, though, I want to talk to my next guest, Father Mossy Brick. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Tell me how you're feeling. 51 years as a priest, all coming to an end.
Jerry, I feel a lot of creaks going on and muscles tightening up. And, it was a great occasion last Friday. Yes, 51 years ordained. It's a milestone, really. So it's those around me and others like who got me over the line in many instances. So it was special for them as well.
Yeah. Father Mossy, you're telling me so you're not fit to line out for Croke Park on Sunday if the call comes from Jack O'Connor?
Well, Jerry, I certainly would be with them in spirit, no doubt about that. I'd kick every ball with them in my mind. But no, there are lots of old creaks, Jerry, and I'd be full of bandages, like, with... I'd say the hamstrings would be gone before I'd even get out of the dressing room.
They probably would. Take me back to when it all began, Father Mossy. When did you know? When did you get the call to become a priest?
I did a leaving cert and I went on for a year to Clonmacnoise at college with a view to doing dairy science. So there was a bit of an interruption in the programme. So I went to England for 6 months. And I got involved with the White Fathers Daycare Centre in Kidburn High Road. And there were many, many other nationalities involved as well. And a lot of our own people, Irish people, used to benefit from the soup kitchen and the soup run and all that. So I was part of that as a volunteer. And, it was certainly very moving. And it was a massive experience, and it was the first time in my life that I felt that I could do something to help some creator who needed to put a push over the line. And I stayed at it for about eight months, and that 8 months experience kind of opened new horizons for me, and I felt that maybe my connection with it and my sense of fulfillment maybe might be an indication that there was a vocation there. So I said, sure, I'll never know unless I try. So when I did go to the seminary, I didn't know for how long it would last, you know, but I went in good faith to give it a try. And there were other lads on a similar journey to myself. So we used to talk about it and we get guidance on it. There was never any force from home or never any pressure at the college level, but we kind of walked away together and got finished first philosophy and kind of moved on then and stuck to 7 years and got ordained and ended up inside in Tralee Town. And a lot of what I had experienced over in Kilburn was basically would be happening in a big town situation. You meet people from different backgrounds and you have different issues and this and that, the other thing. So certainly it was those few months in Kilburn basically ignited the idea that I might have a vocation.
Yeah, indeed. So it was that desire, I suppose, to feel that you could do some good, you could help people, you could assist people and do it through being a priest.
Yeah, well, those few months over there were amazing. Like, and you'd often feel very lonely and saddened as well, because all these boys and girls would have been of Irish origin. They would all have been Irish. And they all had a mother and they all had a father. So we could all identify with them to a degree. And it was to touch your heart and your soul and your mind, really. And also I found in the seminary afterwards like that, it would fashion your own idea about things as well, like that. You'd be doing philosophy or theology, like, but you'd oftentimes be questioning the value of a lot of it, do you know? You'd be kind of more diverted towards the social side of things. But it certainly, those 6 months did enhance the seminary training, no doubt about it. You'd ask a lot of questions and your whole attitude would be more mature, like, about what you wanted to do. You weren't just going in there to try it out, like you'd want to try and stay at the pace if you could.
Yeah. You spent time in Kenya.
I did.
Did that further kind of refine your thinking on helping people and open your eyes to things?
Well, it did about the priesthood, about everything, really, Jerry, because I came from a background at home in Kilmarnock, wonderful mum and dad, Bill and Peg, they were amazing people and the sacrifices they made. But, you know, it would have been a struggle, a big struggle for them now to kind of even, you know, manage the cost of the clothes. At the time, we had to wear soutanes and we had to wear black clothes. So that would be a struggle. It would have been a struggle for them, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I suppose as well, it fueled in me like the fact like that I should cut myself on and make up my mind fast about what I wanted to do. So then I was appointed to St. John's back in 1975. I was appointed to the Mitchells area. It was, Jerry, a most amazing experience. I had never in my 7 years in the seminary heard about a residence association. I had never heard about the linkage between the local authorities and a local community or whatever. So I experienced all that with the Mitchells Development Association and the Kevin Barrett Development Association on ground level at the meetings, just listening and taking it in and going out doing bits and pieces with them. It was an amazing experience, really. And then after 4 years, the Kelly mission to Kenya was going on, and a lot of people might have felt that maybe a couple of years in Africa might do them no harm. It might straighten them out in some way. So I also said myself that I maybe, it was my first time having a motor car and having a few bob in my pocket, really, do you know? And yeah. I began to question my vocation and my attitude towards certainly material things. And I taught myself that I was getting too comfortable in my own space. So I headed for Kenya on the Kelly mission to Kenya. It was actually amazing. It was so special to work with the Kiltegan Fathers. They were a society, a missionary society. And their attitude would have differed greatly to mine. You know, like they lived with and for each other. It was in each other's shadow they survived as a community. They all helped each other out financially in lots of other areas as well. Whereas the seculars, I was a secular priest for the Kerry Diocese, we'd have a different attitude towards a lot of things. And I found that working with the Kiltegan priests was enriching and most enlightening. And they were great to embrace us Kerry lads. I wasn't the only Kerry man there, but they were very open to embracing us, and they allowed us to be part of their mission work, and they were very, very supportive. But those years in Africa were a massive, massive eye-opener, because you could get very comfy in your own little space here, but it was important to challenge yourself at times, and that certainly happened in Africa. And also to experience, you know, we said the poverty of the people, like, you know, and how contented they were to kick a little paper football. And, you know, their attitude to everything was so special, so much different to what would be at home. It was important to be part of that, because we wouldn't have experienced that type of thing in the seminary. And going out there as well, like, you know, someone said to me one time like that if you stay in your mother's corner and only eat her porridge, you'll never be a good judge of porridge. You've got to go next door and eat the neighbour's porridge. And for me, that was Africa. Going over there was like going into a new world and a new experience that was very special.
Yeah, you were in Nakuru. It's northwest of Nairobi, I think, with the Kiltegan Fathers there, building churches, doing all the kind of work of missionaries, really, and learning a lot, as you say.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, we talk here now at home, Jerry, nowadays, and great progress has been made about empowering people to take a sense of ownership of the church and their parish. Like, that was happening, and it's good to see it happening in Ireland, but it was a reality, really, in Africa back in the mid-70s. That was happening way, way back in the mid-70s, that the local indigenous people were being trained as catechists and all that thing. For example, we would hit an outstation once a month.
Yeah.
There might be 30 outstations in your parish, and you would hit each outstation once a month. And in the intervening time then, it was a catechist who ran the show. He was empowered to do it. And then you came back the next month, you said mass with them, you prayed with them, and then you moved on to a new place the following day. So that was happening in Africa years and years ago, what we're trying to implement in Ireland now. And I suppose the poverty that you experience through working with them, like, it stays with you forevermore. It molds you, and you'll always see things differently.
Yeah, because of what you've gone through. Okay, Father Mossy, stay with me for a couple of minutes, if you'd be so kind. We're going to talk a bit more about your time as a priest. We're talking with Father Mossy Brick, who's retiring as a priest after 51 years of service. We'll have more with him after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Yeah, we're talking with Father Mossy Brick about his 51 years as a priest. And Father Mossy, you mentioned there about Kenya in those years and the catechists and the outposts in the rural areas that were doing the work in between when ye could go as priests and say mass, and how remarkable it is all these years later to see a similar thing happening here in Ireland. That's down to the fall in vocations, down to the numbers, the church having to manage, you know, ever-decreasing resources. You've lived through the 51 years of a massive change in the Irish Church. How do you view that time with that in mind, and what's happening now? The Church is changing, isn't it?
Yeah, the Church is changing. There are fewer priests around. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that is a good thing. It will push everybody to pledge lay people the opportunity to become more involved in their communities. For example, here in Castle Island, there is a team trained now. They call themselves funeral teams, and they receive the remains of parishioners in the church, and they say the prayers, and they go up and they make contact with the relatives and do the share the readings with them and all that. And that's very, very important. There would be parish councils in every parish. There was a very, very active parish council here, and all down to the laity, it had absolutely nothing to do with the priest. The chairman was a lay person. There was an excellent group of men and women together, and they planned programs, and they planned little development issues, and it was great to see. So there are buds to be seen around the place. All right. I suppose at the end of the day, the dwindling number of priests is becoming a reality much quicker than thought, because now
is it dispiriting in any way for you, that reality, the changes that you've seen and then the challenges that have come over the last 50 years, or how do you view it?
In a sense, it goes back to my early days, like that we have to awaken ourselves to what's happening around us. You know, as you drive around Kerry, you see the place, you see all these churches, many of them large, many of them small little churches. And those people are very anxious to have, a lot of them would be of an age that must be respected and recognised. Yeah. And they still want their Sunday mass and that thing. And, you know, you think back to your own parents who were on the same wavelength. And, my God, the numbers aren't there to go around, really. And they really want the Sunday mass. You might suggest to pray, or the prayers of pray the rosary, but they want the Sunday mass, and the numbers aren't there to go around. And it's upsetting, really. It is.
Yeah.
Another thing that it was that back in our time, there was a Kerry diocesan youth service, and it did tremendous work in the diocese. For example, after my second term in Tralee from 82 to 94, 12 years, a group came together that time. They called themselves Tralee Youth Social Action. And they did amazing work. They built about 15 houses for the elderly. Dick Spring was the Taoiseach. We had access to funds. they raised the local contribution. They put together Ballyvera, a short-term unit for the elderly to go to when Edinburgh closed. So massive things happened, but all this involvement seems to have, it's not as obvious in place. Maybe it's happening, yeah. But it's yeah. not happening as, it's not very obvious. We certainly don't, and I would imagine a lot of the bits and pieces that happened in the church, maybe to high profile people, I think the stuffing has been kind of driven out of a lot of people and a lot of us really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly the case. Do you think now, though, that there is that feeling of ownership of people in their parishes, lay people getting involved? The call has gone out. There are people becoming deacons. There are people getting involved, as you said. To an extent, they've always been involved, but in a more obvious way, that they take ownership of their parish and make things happen and make the church relevant in the community's life.
I actually would have to agree absolutely with that comment. In Kerry at the moment, anybody from any parish who wishes to educate himself or herself or to avail of a course, there are professional people employed by the diocese to help them. So there are a number of people at the moment training, doing pastoral courses to become pastoral workers. And the goodwill is there, the faith is there, the commitment is there, and we just have to encourage them really, and hopefully it will bear fruit on the ground. It is bearing fruit already, but hopefully it'll go much further in.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is part of it. Father Massey, we're getting lots of comments coming in here from different people who've known you down through the years. Eddie Jennings contacted the show. Eddie and Father Brick share a mutual friend in Kenya, Father Nicky Hennessy. Father Hennessy himself retired in 2025 and always held Father Brick in very high regard.
yeah, great, great fellas, yeah. I remember Eddie Jennings well, yeah. The father would have been the masseur to the Kerry football team,
very good, amazing. Best wishes to Father Brick from Fitzy and the Hen from Tarbert. John Hagerty contacted the show, was one of the Kevin Barry's children when Father Massey first came to Tralee. He remembers Father Massey taking about six of them to a boxing tournament in Limerick. He thinks he was driving a Ford Capri at the time. A fantastic priest, probably the only priest you could have a chat with at that time. Best wishes on your retirement.
Yeah, there were great days. I was blessed really, Jerry, to get the opportunity to start my job, so to speak, in Tralee before going to Africa. And then when I came back from Africa, I spent 9 years in Tralee, and they were wonderful years. I spent 14 years in North Kerry in the parishes of Lixnaw, Irremore and Rahee. That was special because Lixnaw was a neighbouring parish to my native place, Kilmoyley, really, and you had the Hurling connection and all that thing. Then down to the Bear Peninsula for 3 years to work with the fishing community, amazing. Back up to Tarbert again. That was some parish, because at the time you had the power station was in full flow, and you had so many others down there, electrical people from Offaly. And it was a really vibrant, lively community. So it was a great job. And then at the end of the day, Castle Island crowned a lot. It is a wonderful, wonderful place to live. And it was a wonderful place to be a priest.
Yeah. There's a listener here, says Father Brick, never forgot his roots, played hurling with Kilmoyley during his priesthood. Sport was always a big thing with you. And you know, one of our listeners there talked about taking kids to a boxing tournament in Limerick. You believe in I suppose, the community aspect of sport, whatever sport, to bring people together.
Well, from my own perspective, the sport was seriously important because, it had a pastoral value. You got to know guys through the hurling, especially. That was my gig, through the hurling, with Kilmoyley and with Kerry. And you also got to play with them, and you got the belt, and you had to defend yourself and look after yourself, and that part of life was important as well, because in the priesthood you'll get the wallops as well. You have to defend yourself and stand up for yourself. And then the whole thing of playing together, like, and you know, playing together, and even things like traveling to a match together, like, you know, that. A lot of them wouldn't see the church at all, but they'd see every second pub from here to Donegal, the Kerry Hurlers. So a lot of fun like that. So there were great times, really, and sport was a big part of that, in mixing with others, and they'd feel confident around you as well about talking to you and sharing things.
Yeah. Tell me about Friday night in Castle Island, the surprise party. A great night.
Well, wasn't it amazing, Jerry? And I'm fiercely inquisitive, you know, Jerry. I never knew a word about it.
You never knew? How did they keep it from you?
Jerry, I simply don't know, because the lady who got it all going is the parish secretary, and no news broke. So it means if you want a secret kept, tell the woman, and she'll tell nobody. No, they had a great night. They had a great night, Jerry. We celebrated Mass in the church, and then they had a marquee and all that kind of stuff. And it was a great night celebration, and I got a gift of a piebald pup, a greyhound pup, a black and white pup from Tampere, well bred. So that was an important acquisition as well on Friday night.
Brilliant. Great. That's a project for you now.
Yeah, because Jerry, I've always believed that it's important for the padre to have other bits and pieces going on, you know.
It's
important to mix and you know, pursue sport or something, or whatever, music or whatever, drama, whatever it is. It's important to have a sideline other than the job, because you don't meet people. Like, when you're coming back to the house by yourself there, like, and you know, it's good to go out. It's like the porridge again. When you move out, you meet people, and you can become a better judge of the porridge.
Yeah, and that social connection, and you find out what's happening in the community, and I suppose most importantly, you find out who needs help, even if they haven't come to you looking for it.
You find out who needs the help, Shelley, of course, and I suppose it's like any profession. We clerics too get into our own dialogue and the guff and the words and the language, you know, which isn't always the language of Johnny Public, you know. So it's nice to move out and have the general experience of how people live, their experiences, and how life goes on with them. Walk with them as well. Part of our job has to be to walk with Johnny Public. If we're talking at Johnny Public, we're not succeeding. We've got to walk with them.
Maybe in time gone by, that was part of the problem, Father Massey, that there was too much of that going on and not enough of walking with people.
Yeah, it could have been, maybe, like when you hear stories about the old days of padres going around with a whip and a stick beating the courting couples and all that. So it was crazy stuff. Like, so it ostracised us it ostracised the church from people, and we were seen as being tyrants and all that thing. But that, thanks be to God, that day is long gone. Oh, that day is long gone. And as you look around at the Kerry clerical team at the moment, like, you are some of the finest fellas you meet anywhere, like, grand lads, great fellas.
Yeah, indeed. What did you name the pup?
Well, the donor was Tom Parr, so I suppose Tom Parr would have to feature to some degree. We'd have to find another word then. But look out for him next year, please God.
Right, he's got the pedigree to be a champion.
He has the pedigree to be a flying machine, Jerry.
Well, look, I'd believe it. I would believe it, and he's in the best hands now, so we'll expect great things.
We do, Jerry. We'll be looking forward in hope anyway.
I'm just going to read a couple of more comments here, because there's lots of them coming in. Marcella Kieran and Dara Mulvihill, best wishes and happy retirement for Father Morris, Father Brick. Would you wish Father Brick a health and happiness in your retirement? That comes in from Mike and Peg and Kilflynn. Enjoy your retirement, Father Brick. You married us 40 years ago. Best wishes from Kathleen and Jimmy Wren in Tralee. And that's another side of the job, isn't it, Father Brick? Seeing married couples and then baptising their children, and Holy Communions and all of that. You get to see all of life and stages of life for people.
We get to see all stages of life, and it provides us with a massive opportunity and an entrance into people's lives. Like you would see people, for example, the First Communion, like you would see everybody's going to talk within the family circle, everybody, whatever the story is, they are all going to turn up. And it presents a massive opportunity for us to go out and to meet them. And they never forget to shake hands and the bit of, you know, yeah. It's very important. We do get a great opportunity to meet people and get into their lives and be part of them, really, yeah. And a holy people, a good people, make a good priest.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. For sure. Father Mossy kept many a young person in the straight and narrow during years in Tralee with youth clubs. He spoke their language, walked the walk, and respected everyone from no problem as he knew me. That comes in from someone who says they're no problem as he knew me. Another listener says, caller has great devotion to St. Padre Pio and always attended the monthly devotions to St. Pio in Castle Island, organised by Father Brick. Will Father Brick be continuing devotions elsewhere? I suppose that leads me on to my next question. What's next, Father Mossy?
Jerry, you're deadly.
time out. And one of our listeners says, and wishing Father Mossy happy, healthy retirement, we loved him when in Lixna, a mighty man in all situations. That comes in from Jane. Now is his time. So it is your time after all the years of service.
Yeah, well, St. Pio is a, I would write throughout my priesthood, or right throughout my work, like St. Pio was my basically the power above and beyond me. Like his own life was so difficult, and he was of our time. He died in 1968, and he was the healing saint of our time. So my mom had a devotion to him, and I carried on that devotion, and people got around us and got the devotions going. And Jerry, this is a solid fact. Over the last 7 years, at our devotions, you'd have an average of 1,000 people on the second Tuesday of every month.
Amazing.
That's amazing. So when the lady asks the question, where now, it's a very relevant question. And I certainly, it's one meeting per month for 10 months. So it's 10 meetings in the year. So it wouldn't, you know, it's not draining, so to speak. It's 10 meetings in the year, and it's the strongest by country mile in the dice. So to be very, very silly to let it die. So hopefully it won't. We'll find a co-host someplace, and we'll run the devotions, please God.
We'll get it done. Yeah, amazing. A final comment, Father Brick, and thanks so much for giving us so much time. I'm enjoying listening to Father Brick this morning. When my granddaughter Freya heard about him retiring, she asked me, can Father Brick get married now?
Well, I tell you, Jerry, you can probably hear the old bones creaking over the phone. No, I'll tell you something. I'm not able to come out of my own way at the moment, let alone get that. No. I have two plastic hips and a dicey knee, so I know.
No, indeed. Well, Father Mossy, look, thanks so much for talking to me this morning and giving your time. And thanks for all your service over the many decades. We're only reading a fraction of the comments that are coming in and the impact that you've had through your work on people's lives down through the decades. So thanks so much for talking to me on Radio Kerry this morning.
Thanks, Jerry. God bless, Jerry. Thanks very God much. Thanks.
Thank you. Father Mossy Brick there. If you have a view on that, on his time as a priest, we'd love to hear from you in the programme this morning. We've more on the way on Kerry Today.